Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What is faith? What is faith all about? Why does faith matter? Or perhaps more to the point, how does faith work? How does it work in our world? How does it work in our lives? How do we make it work in our Christianity, in the way in which we present Christ to others, the way in which we live for Christ with everything that we are and everything that we do? This chapter of Hebrews gives, I think, the definitive answer to many questions, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the conviction of things that we cannot see, things that may yet have to be, but not now. Conviction of things not seen. That is at the heart and soul of faith. So how do we make that work for us as Christians? Since we know that our relationship with God is based on faith in Jesus Christ. That is the basis. That is the bridge. That is the connection that we have with God. Faith in Jesus Christ. And since we have to have that faith, isn't it interesting that we have a hard time truly understanding what faith is all about? One of our Sunday school classes, the Common Ground class, which is sort of the college and career age, they have one of their teachers, Jesse Burdett, is very good about making sure that when they arrive at Sunday school, he is going to ask them, what God moments did you have this week? What was your most significant God moment of the week? And at first he would start off with himself, but then as they got to understand this was going to be a weekly question, they began to look for the God moments that had happened to them in the week. And so when he would ask, each one of them would say, well, I happened to notice, well, this happened. Their eyes were perhaps a little bit more opened to seeing how their faith in God could be working, how their faith in God could be energized by being aware of when God was active in their lives. Years ago when I was at Lancaster, we had a Vacation Bible School. And on the stage in the family life building where we were, they brought in a dollhouse. I mean, it was one of these dollhouses like children go in and play, a big-sized dollhouse. They put it on the stage. I was thinking, I wonder why they have a dollhouse. But then the instructor, the leader, guided them and said, every day when you come in for Vacation Bible School, we're going to have sticky notes, And we want you to put any time that God has done something for you, we want you to write it down and come up and stick it on the house up here. So that was the whole purpose of having that playhouse there. And so the children did, and by the end of the week, it was covered in sticky notes. Covered in sticky notes of how the children that week had seen God. Because they had been told to be on the watch out, to be on the look, see God in the world. That's one way in which faith works. It's one way in which we understand what faith is all about. That's one way in which we see that which is not seen, as he says here in verse 3 of the latter part, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. What is seen was made from things that are not visible. What an interesting way to view faith. At our Thursday morning men's Bible study, the Iron Men, we were talking about creation. And I said, to me, it's great meaning that light was the first thing that God created, the very first thing that God created. Well, one of our members there, a lot of you know him, Bill Baker, professor of physics at Furman University, used to be head of the department, and he immediately interrupted me and said, he doesn't speak like that, but anyway, he said, actually, photons had to be created before there was light. So I said, oh, okay. Well, isn't it great that photons were the first thing that God created so that God could create light? Well, then that made me curious about photons. I mean, you know, it's one of those words you remember, but you don't really remember what it's all about. And light is made of photons, but also things that we cannot see, x-rays and electromagnetic, like microwaves, electromagnetic energy is made of photons as well. But the scientists say that the human eye can detect a single photon. Now, how they know that, I don't know, but that's what they say. Google told me that. So the human eye can detect a single photon, but we, you know, even though it's our eyes, we can't say, oh, there was a photon. Oh, that was another photon. We don't necessarily see that. We don't see x-rays. We don't see microwaves. But they are there, and they respond, and they act, and they are real, and they make a difference. So, too, with our faith. Our faith is there, and we can understand that faith is making a difference. And then sometimes we can see that perhaps the world is changing because of our faith, or perhaps it is yet unseen. It's easy as Christians, it's easy as a church, it's easy as a society to become discouraged, to say we're trying to do good, we're trying to live by Christ. We're trying to promote Christ. We're trying to promote all that Christ taught us in the world. And then at times the world seems more evil than it ever was before. Disasters happen. People are terrible to people. People kill people. We don't understand. And our faith at those moments is tested. We begin to say, Lord, I understand that faith is a conviction of things not seen, but I would like to see a little bit more of a difference. I'd like to see that my energy, my faith, my willingness to serve you, and the willingness of generations and generations upon generations of Christians, those who understood that they were the body of Christ broken and given for the world, that they also did not live their lives in vain. That sometimes we don't see the results that are there. But God still gives us that assurance that even though we might not see, that faith is still there. Faith is still active. Faith is still changing things here and now and in the future. On our little street that we lived on, there was one little house, and it was a tiny little house. It had the old steps, wooden steps that came down one door. The house only had one door. And there were just the little slat steps that were there. And every time we would pass, especially in the warm weather, this old gentleman in overalls would be sitting there. He would be smoking a cigarette, and he always looked the same. He looked old and worn out. And he'd be sitting on those steps with the door open. A lot of times, even in the winter, he'd be sitting on those steps with the door open. We would pass by. And, you know, as children, you hear what your parents don't necessarily want you to hear, but we had heard from our parents just sort of mentioning or talking, they thought we were distracted with something else, that, you know, he probably had a drinking problem, something like that, that he had, you know, that was who he was known for and that sort of thing. Well, one day my brother and I were out riding bicycles, and we rode up to his house. He was sitting there on the steps, and we just started talking to him. And he was a very interesting and very delightful person. And he took us around to the side of the house, and there on the edge of the woods, he had beehives. And he wouldn't let us get too close, of course, but he started telling us all about the beehives. And our dad had some beehives on the farm, but we were never allowed to go near them, and Dad would tell us a few things about it. But this man loved honeybees. And so he was telling us all these fascinating things about the honeybees. And he would tell us all these things. And then he would tell us when he was getting ready to harvest the honey. He would tell us when to come, and we would ride our bicycles down there. And he would be there harvesting the honey. We got to know him as much more than this strange little old man sitting on his steps smoking a cigarette who may or may not have had a problem with alcohol. We got to know him for who he was. And perhaps our interaction with him made him feel a little better about living on our street as people whispered about him and whispered that he might have trouble with alcohol. Maybe our interaction with him helped him to have a little bit more faith in himself. How does faith work? How does it work in this world? Sometimes it works through those things that we cannot see, those things that we cannot touch, those things that are not tangible, but those things that definitely make a difference. Then, of course, here in Hebrews, we have the definitive answer for how faith works. Abraham is lifted up as example. And Abraham is said, this is what Abraham did. He had faith. Abraham, the father of faith, he believed and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. And so we say that as Christians, Abraham's the father of our faith because he was the first one to have faith. And through faith and faith alone, God saw him as righteous. God saw him as a child of God. And so therefore, Abraham is the father of the Christian faith as well. And so we look at Abraham, we say, well, if Abraham made faith work, what did he do? And it says indeed that he obeyed without sufficient information. And you sort of go, wait a minute. That might lead to some problems. But if you read the story of Abraham, that's what he did. God said, leave from the land of your fathers and go, and I'll make of you a great nation. Abraham's like, I sure, what, huh? You know how old I am? You know how old Sarah is? And you want me to leave? And he didn't have sufficient information, but he obeyed. One of my churches had an admin who'd been a master sergeant in the Air Force. She had been one of the WACs. She was in the WAC band and all this stuff. And she loved to tell the story about the fact, and I don't know if this is true or not, it's probably a wacky folk tale or whatever. But anyway, she loved to tell the story about how there was a guard outside of an empty room in a building, and the guard was always post there. They had a guard there 24 hours a day, and it went on for years and years and years, and the guards had orders that they were to guard that empty room. And finally, somebody finally said, wait a minute, what are these orders? Why is there a guard stationed outside an empty room? And so they started looking back through the years to see what was the deal, and it ended up that at one point the wooden floors in that room had been refinished and they had put varnish on it, and they had said, we're going to make sure no one steps on the varnish, so we're going to post a guard. And then they forgot to take away the order. So the guard was always there, even though years and years and years later the wooden floor had never been stepped on because there was always a guard there guarding the varnish for years and years and years. And she would always point that out whenever anyone said, we ought to obey. She'd say, you need to have sufficient information before you do that. But Abraham did not. Perhaps that is a part of our journey with God. Perhaps it's a part of our journey when God urges us through the power of the Holy Spirit to act, to respond. We might say, Lord, I don't know. I need more information. I don't want to stick my neck out. I don't want to look like an idiot. I don't want to do that. God's saying, do this. God doesn't say, let me send you a proposal. Let me spell it all out for you. God just says, act, respond. And if we have faith in God as our shepherding God, then perhaps we do obey without sufficient information. It is an interesting proposal, but it is exactly what Abraham did. He also set out without a destination, which is also stepping out in faith. He didn't have a destination. He just simply stepped out and said, this is what I'll do. It's in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he would receive as inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. Not knowing where he was going, but he set out on that destination because he knew that God had called him. God had said, this is what you're going to do. This is where you need to go. And also, we say, how does faith work? Sometimes it means as Christians, we don't always see the destination. The destination for where we are to go. We might want to. We might want to plan. We might say it's only wise for us to plan and to prepare and everything else. But sometimes God says, I have the destination in mind for you, and I will be with you, and I will create great things for you. Sometimes faith calls us to take that step as a test of faith as well. I don't know if you've ever been in a prayer labyrinth, but I find them to be very meaningful. Part of the meaning of them to me is that it's a trip really without a destination. You're basically walking around in circles, which, you know, I'm pretty good at doing that all by myself. But if you're in the prayer labyrinth, you do that. And the idea is that as you start on the outer edge and you're walking the circle, that you are releasing all of your anxieties, worries, fears, frustrations, angers, whatever else, releasing all these things as you're walking slowly in prayer, as you're circling the labyrinth and you're going closer and closer and closer into the center. And so your prayers are revolve around releasing everything, all these pent-up fears and anxieties and everything else, releasing all those things to God. And then you're at the center, and then hopefully you've centered yourself on God, and then you begin the journey back, of going back out. And as you are doing so, your prayers are that God will bless your journey. You are receiving the blessings from God. A journey that doesn't really have a destination, but a journey that brings us closer to God. I love the book Cold Mountain, Charles Frazier. I think it's a very powerful book. In one scene of the book, an old Indian is talking about Mount Pisgah. And he's talking with one of the main characters, and he says, Mount Pisgah, the top of Mount Pisgah is the place of spirits. At the top of Mount Pisgah, there is a spiritual realm that is there. And the guy that he's talking to says, wait a minute. He said, I've climbed Mount Pisgah. He said, I've been up there. I didn't encounter any spiritual realm. I don't believe what you're talking about. And the old Indian looks at him and says, there's more to it than just the climbing. There's more to it than just the climbing. Sometimes God wants us to go on a destination so that our faith will be tested, so that our faith will grow, so that we will know indeed what we are to do. We could not say for certain where Abraham ended up exactly and all that sort of stuff. We can look on maps and figure it out or something like that. That's not the important part. The important part was that he set out for a destination without knowing where he was going, but he established a new relationship with God for countless generations. And also a part of how faith works is that we're not sure what we're called even to accomplish as God calls us into doing that. We're not sure what we are to accomplish. We're not sure exactly, how does God want to use me in this situation? What am I supposed to do? What are my points that I know I can check off the list? I've done this, this, this. I've done what God wants me to do. God says, go and do. Go and be the hands and feet of Christ. Go and represent Christ to the world. And we're saying, how? Show me exactly what so I can check them off the list and I can know. I remember the first time I went to orientation, Clemson University, fall of 1975. And the first person I talked to said, what is your major? I was going, is there an undecided? Well, there was, but I was like, wow, they want to know right then what you want to do. What are you going to do with your life? Right here, pa! I remember thinking, wow, I need a little bit more time. I need a little bit more time. I'm speaking to the choir up here, literally. I need a little bit more time to figure things out. I know that we say, what are you going to do? What are your plans? How is your life going to go? You have it all charted out and go, 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 and that's good and great. But with God, sometimes God says, I will show you the destination. You set out, you go. And God says, I will guide you. That is what faith is all about at different times as we work and live in our lives. Now, I'm all for planning, and I'm all for youth going to college and understanding their majors. But I think if we think that we are set on a course and that course will be the same throughout our lives, that perhaps God will show us that we need to be a little bit more flexible. Also, as this chapter says, as this great example of faith says to us, that many times we will only see the end result. We'll only see the destination from a distance. It says that in verse 13, all these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. Many times as Christians, we know that we're working on what Christians have done before us. And that's just a part of the journey. That's part of who we are as the church. And we realize that sometimes they were not able to see the accomplishment of their work. We realize that also with our lives. That's a part of what faith is all about, that we might not be able to see what is accomplished and what is done, that we simply live out our lives and do it as faithfully as we possibly can, even though we might be only able to see the results at a distance, not up close and not personal. This past week, a young man came to the door, young, he was probably in the early 50s, came to the door of the office, and I went out to talk with him. I could tell by the bags that he was carrying that he was probably homeless. And so he sat down on the bench there in the shade, and I said, would you like some water? He said, yes. So I ran to the kitchen, bottled water out of the refrigerator, and found some Cheez-Its. I don't know whose Cheez-Its I stole, sorry. Found some Cheez-Its. I took them out to him, and then I sat down on the bench with him. And I started talking to him, and I said, what is your name? And he said, my name is Chris. And I was getting ready to tell him my name, and he said, and, you know, it's just Chris. It's not Christopher. He said, everybody tries to make it Christopher. And I keep telling him, my name is just Chris. And I laughed, and I said, huh, well, that's funny, because my name is Dan, and everybody tries to make it Daniel. And it's not Daniel, it's Dan, it's just Dan. And so we sort of laughed and talked, and I said, do you have any place to live? And he said, no. And I said, that must be very hard. And he started to cry. And I teared up for him. He looked at me and he said, it is very hard. So we had a connection. So then I talked as he drank his water and ate his Cheez-Its. And I talked to him, and then I got him a food card for Ingles. And then I tried to get him in a shelter, one of the two shelters in Greenville, and we could not accomplish that right there. So I made him promise that he would come back and see me. I said, we're going to keep working on this because I don't want you homeless. I don't want you living in the woods. I said, we're going to keep on working on this. I haven't seen him yet. But I pray for him. I pray for Chris. Sometimes we can only see it from a distance. But we know that God is there. We know that God is accomplishing great things. That God will bring things to pass that we cannot even begin to imagine. That is the fullness of life. Why do we have faith? How does faith work? What difference does faith make? Because without faith, there is no life. There is no hope. There is no point in dreaming. There is no place to having a destination and knowing that we are here to build the kingdom, even if we can only see it at a distance. It's the conviction of that which is not necessarily seen. Let us pray.